chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I just want to look at the first three verses, mainly the second and the third verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I entitled this message a phrase that I hear quite often in regard to witnessing and how Christians should live in our world. And that is fleshing out the gospel, or putting skin on the gospel. That's another way that I've heard it said. So I entitled this message, Fleshing Out the Gospel. I believe that's what we're encouraged to do in these three verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. As we hear the Apostle Paul say these words, he says, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are letters of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, or an epistle from Christ, as some of your translations may say, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." You know, too many surveys these days remind us that Americans are biblically illiterate. The results of one survey I looked at some time ago showed that 93% of Americans have a Bible in their homes or in possession of a Bible, but half of them said they have never read it. That the survey showed that only one out of three Americans can name the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Over half of graduating high school seniors think that Sodom and Gomorrah are husband and wife. Now, this is going to sound really far-fetched, but it also showed that something like 16% of graduating high school seniors think that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Seriously, I'm not kidding. As one commentator said, although over 5 billion copies of the Bible have been sold and distributed, the Bible has become the greatest story never read. That's sad. Nevertheless, there is, in a sense, a Bible that everyone reads. There is a Bible that every one of your coworkers, every one of your friends, every one of your family members, every one of your acquaintance read. There is a Bible that even from a book learning perspective, even the uneducated and the illiterate read. And that Bible is the Christian life. The Christian life. The lost world, through our words and our deeds, have translated for them the living grace of Christ, the love of God, and the reality of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and how they themselves can get in on that. In fact, there has never been a greater need for Christians to be consciously aware of the fact that people are watching them, that people are reading them. And there has never been a greater need for Christians to live careful and circumspect lives in light of that reality, in light of that fact. And I want us to be reminded of that this evening. Now, I don't want to set this before you this evening as a burden, but I want to do it as the Apostle Paul does, as I see him do it in this text. Not as a burdensome duty, but as a beautiful duty, as a beautiful fact. I mean, aren't these words beautiful? Look at verses 2 and 3. He says, "You yourselves are a letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Beautiful words. Beautiful words. Here we have a picture that being living letters of Christ, epistles of Christ, is not a burdensome thing. It is a beautiful thing. Furthermore, it's not the law that compels us to commend Christ to the world. It's the gospel that does that. The gospel of grace that does that. And it's not fear that's to conform our words and our deeds to Christ as much as it's love that should cause us to do that. In fact, I hope that you will agree with me that it's the most beautiful work that we do in our lives in being living letters of Christ. Epistles of recommendation to Christ. And as we begin to consider these two verses this evening, I just want us to consider the context for a moment. In Paul's day, letters of recommendation were essential for new people coming into a new town. We read about letters of recommendation in the Bible. Apollos was commended to the church by a letter. The Apostle Paul wrote to various churches to commend people like Phoebe and Timothy and Titus. And this was especially important in those days as the church began to spread out geographically in order to safeguard the church's integrity. You just didn't want anybody coming into your church. You wanted a letter of recommendation, an epistle of recommendation on their behalf from an apostle or someone who knew them well. And we know that there were so many false teachers in these days. In verse 17 of chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. We know that in Corinth, there were some false teachers. There were some false apostles that had gained entrance into the church. And apparently, we can surmise that they carried with them letters of recommendation. And they proceeded to challenge Paul's authority. Why doesn't Paul have a letter of recommendation? Where are Paul's letters of recommendation? And Paul says, look, does the one who has begotten you in faith need now to get a letter of recommendation of himself to you? Paul's saying, look, do you not know me? Do you not know who I am? Do you not know how I labored among you? Do you not know of my ministry? Paul goes on to say, he says, look, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation. You are proof of our apostleship. You are proof of our authority. You are proof of the integrity of our ministry. But what Paul is saying is this. He's saying to these, Paul, as he always does, he's always a teacher. He shifts from defending himself over this business of letters of recommendation to teaching them about the Christian life. That's what you see in verses 2 and 3. Teaching them about practical Christian living. And he says this, you are not just letters of recommendation for us or to us or on our behalf, but you are Jesus Christ's letters of recommendation to the world. To be read and to be known by all. Paul is telling us here that every Christian is Christ's letter. Every Christian is an epistle of Christ to the world. And I just want us to consider this for a moment this evening. First of all, simply, you are Christ's letter. You are Christ's letter. Verses 2 and 3, for you yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. In other words, whoever looked at the Christians in Corinth knew and could plainly read that their hearts and their lives were recommendations for Christ. These Corinthian Christians' lives, letters to be read by everyone, said, this is what Jesus has done in our lives. This is who He is, and this is what He can do for anyone who will embrace Him. Who in their heart will by faith embrace Him. Christ personally sends a message to the world through our transformed lives about Himself. And we need to remember that. He sends a message to the world through people who in word and deed are able to be the gospel to the world. I guess you could say we translate in our words and in our deeds the gospel. We translate in our words and in our deeds the Bible. You see, everybody knew these Corinthian Christians. They knew who they had been and they knew what they had become. In his first letter, the Apostle Paul mentions who these people were. We know that section really well. They were sexually immoral. They were idolaters. They were adulterers. They were homosexuals. They were thieves. They were covetous. They were drunkards. They were revilers. They were extortioners. But he goes on to say, but such were some of you. People overlook what follows, that litany of sinners in the church of Corinth, or those people who were involved in such sins. He goes, but such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been sanctified, you have been justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. We need to remember that. But such were some of you. Salvation is radical. You are not the same person after you're saved, as you were before you were saved. You are radically changed, but such were some of you. It does not mean you're not going to have struggles and you're not going to have to fight sin, but there's going to be a radical difference. There's going to be a radical difference in your desires. There's going to be a change in your will. Your desire in your inner man is going to be to please God and to live according to His will. Christ's saving power and grace had changed them, and they left those sins behind. What a change had happened in their lives. What a change had come over them from the heart. It was from the inside out that this occurred. And this was the message to the world. This was Christ's message to the world. If there could have been a sign placed above every one of these Christians, I believe it would have clearly read this: saved by His power divine, saved to new life sublime, life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I have been saved, saved, saved. That's what their lives said. You know, the gospel is not about abstract principles. I hope you understand that. I hope you can see that. The gospel is not about abstract principles. Jesus didn't just give us abstract principles. Pie in the sky, euphoric kind of stuff. He didn't give us that. He gave us concrete things. And when people look at Christians, they see what redemption is all about in flesh and blood. It's not abstract. They see clearly. He says, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. We are Christ's letters of recommendation to a lost and dying world. We have been left in this world as His letters to be clearly read by all men. And by looking up on us, the world will see the glories and the joys of what Christ does in hearts and lives. Do they see that? Do they see that in us? They interpret what Christ does in the hearts and lives, what the gospel is all about, by what they see in us, by our words, by our deeds. Every Christian life proclaims that I have a message from the Lord And that message is for you. Every Christian life. So we are Christ's letters to this world. Secondly, you are a letter of Christ to this world. You are an epistle of Christ to this world. Secondly, you are known and read by all. Verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all." You and I have been left in this world and we have been sent out into this world. Nancy and Alberto and missionaries like them have been sent out into this world to be the Bible men simply won't read. Think about this. Some of you might say, well, okay, now I know why God has sent me into that office. Now I know why God has sent me into that workplace where nobody ever thinks about the things of God. I've been sent to them. I am Christ's letter to them. And here's something you may not have thought of. They can't get rid of you as easily as they can get rid of a Gideon New Testament. My father was in the Gideons for a long time, and I've heard other Gideons talk about this, but they would go down to the University of Tennessee when they were allowed to go down and hand out Bibles on campus. And they would hand Bibles to those college students, and some of them would walk a few feet and then toss that Bible in the trash can. They can't get rid of you as easily as they can get rid of a New Testament. They can't get rid of you as easily as they can toss a tract into the garbage can. They can't throw you into the trash can. They simply can't do that. There's a story about four ministers sitting around talking about Bible translations. And one of them said that he loved the old King James Bible. Nothing matches it for its poetic beauty and power. Another said that he loved the New American Standard Bible because it was so accurate because of its respect for each word in the original languages. Another said that he loved the NIV because it had such clarity and compelling style. And the fourth sat quiet for a moment. And then he said, "You know, I like my dad's translation the best. You see, he explained it to us. And then he put it into practice every single day. And I'll tell you this, men, it was the most beautiful and most powerful, the most respectful and the most clear and compelling translation I've ever read." Charles Spurgeon said this, "You've read the life of Christ beautifully and eloquently written, and you have admired the talent of the persons who could write so well. But the best life of Christ is his living biography, written out in the words and actions of his people." Profound. Look, church, there are countless people out there who will never, ever come to hear me preach on a Wednesday night. They'll never come to hear me preach on a Sunday morning. They will turn away from this church building on a Sunday. They'll turn away from this church building on a Wednesday. But they can't turn away from you as letters of Christ to the world. They are constrained to see the truth as it's recorded in you. They have to look at you. You have to go through the checkout line at Walmart. You have to go to the lumber department at Home Depot. And some of you have to have them load your trucks for you. No, I'm just joking. Ted does that on purpose, I'm sure. But they have to interact with you. They can't just simply turn away from you. They're constrained to see the truth as it's recorded in you. And I know some of you, every time you have the opportunity, you are letting people see the truth as it's recorded in you. I know Ted doesn't just hand out a tract. He offers words. He opens his mouth. And he speaks on behalf of his Lord. Many of the rest of you do too. You know, they can leave the Bible that they have in their homes on the shelf all their life. But you and me, they're going to read day after day after day. And even if they don't like what they read of Christ in you, even if they don't like what they read of Christ in me, they are compelled to read it, and they're compelled to acknowledge Him, and they are even admonished by Him. They are convicted by Him through our lives, and they are told by the way we live, look, without such a change in your own life wrought by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what's declared through our lives. We need to remember that. As Paul teaches, none of us live unto ourselves. None of us die unto ourselves. Or as the saying goes, no man is an island unto himself. It can't be. We are letters of Christ. We are epistles of Christ. He, by His Spirit, writing in us that which the world needs to see and read. It's a great calling. We all have a great calling on our lives. We are called to take the gospel into the world. And yes, we are to do that with our mouths. Go ye into all the world and make disciples, teaching them. So we have to open our mouths. We have to speak on behalf of the Lord. It's not simply that we just live out our lives or live out the Christian life. We have to talk. We have to speak. But we also do live. And there is much instruction given to us in the Word of God of how we're supposed to live. Upright, circumspect, careful, sober, alert, self-aware. It's a great calling. It's a great responsibility. We have been given this treasure in earthen vessels and jars of clay. Privy pots. This is actually what's being talked about there. We've been given a great treasure as earthen vessels. It's a great calling. It's a great responsibility. As Paul would say, who's sufficient for these things? None of us are on our own. It's by the grace of God. It's a beautiful thing as well. You yourselves are letters of recommendation, our letters of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. We need to make a conscious effort to be aware of this. A conscious effort. Knowing every day when we walk out of here, when we walk out of the security of these four walls, in the security of the believers, the fellowship of the saints, we need to remember that when we walk out of here, as that sign says over our door, we are entering the mission field and we are being watched all the time. Especially by the lost people who really know us, who've had the opportunity to get acquainted with us to some degree. They're watching us. What's different about them? What's different about them? Why is that different? What's brought that change about in them? Why are they not like everybody else I run into in the world? We need to make a conscious effort to be aware that people are watching us. People are reading us. And what kind of message are they reading? Are they reading about our Savior? Are what they reading about our Savior as they look at us? Is it positive? Does it reflect well on Him? Are we good billboards for our Savior? Or does it reflect negatively on Him? And drive people away from Him. Drive people away from the church. Yes, I believe in the sovereignty of God and salvation, but I'm not a fatalist. I know there's human responsibility. And I know that I've heard a lot of people say, the reason why I want nothing of your God, the reason why I want nothing of your Christ, is because of what I've seen in His people. And yes, it's a lousy excuse. The reason why I don't go to that church down there anymore is because there's hypocrites in that church. Well, we all know that. Okay? Like, they're not a hypocrite. We all know there's hypocrites in the church. But stop focusing on the people who are doing it wrong and start focusing on the people who are doing it right, or at least striving to do it right. It's a cop-out. I know that. But I know people have said that. And how the church, people of the church, have lived and conducted themselves has driven many a person away from the church and from Christ. So let's be aware that we're being watched and we're being read. And we are Christ's letters to the world. We are living epistles. We flesh out the gospel. We flesh out the gospel. We put skin on the gospel every day that we live. What are people seeing?